Welcome to the Traveling Teams Media Ministry. To find out more, visit www.thetravelingteam.org.
I was with some students, kind of on the opposite side of Lake Travis this week, and was working with some other folks. I and one other guy were preaching, and we saw somewhere between 20 and 30 students drawn to faith in the Lord, and we praise God for that. About 40 students committed to missions, and that's one of my passions. I'm excited about that. I'm going to share with you this morning. If you have your Bibles, you can kind of mark Genesis chapter 12 and Revelation chapter 5 or chapter 7. We'll go to both of those. And you've heard folks talk about preaching Genesis to Revelation. We'll do that today. Hopefully we'll be done by the time next service starts. I want to start with a quiz that I took and failed miserably this week. And thankfully we don't lose our salvation over this little quiz, but I'll ask you these questions just about the world's population. If the world were reduced to 100 people, I'll ask them, you get your answer in mind, and then we'll go back through and get the right answers. If the world's population were reduced to 100 people, how many would be Asian? If the world's population were reduced to 100 people, how many would be European? How many would be African? Then how many would be American? How many would be white? How many would be malnourished? How many would live in a below standard housing condition? How many would be unable to read? And how many would hold a university degree? I answered these on a friend's website the other day, and then you go and you get the answers, and hopefully you did better than me. I think I got three right, and it was because I'd had a conversation with a guy about 3 weeks ago that gave me the answers to these three. If the world's population were 100 people, 57 would be Asian. 21 would be European, 8 would be African, 2 would be American, 30 would be white, 50 would be malnourished. That's to a point where damage is already done to the body. 80 would live in a below standard housing condition, and 60 of those 80 would truly be in a slum, living in cardboard housing or tin or on pavement. 70 of the 100 would not be able to read in their lifetime, and one would hold a university degree. Interesting stats they were to me, because I tend to think that the world is a lot like me. Same type life that I live, all that good stuff. I was watching a special about two teenage stars the other day, and when they turned 17, their parents bought them Land Rovers with money that they had earned, the two teenagers had. And the person who was doing the special on them said, most people when they turn 17 just get a normal car. And Laura gets on to me for yelling at the TV, but I did that day. Most people in the world never have a car. And that's just easy for us to forget when we think about the nations. And we really should think a lot about the nations. God has a heart for the nations. And I remember it was January 2nd, 1998. I'd been a believer about 7 years when the Lord opened my eyes to His heart for the nations. And as you go to service today, you'll get to hear about a couple of folks that TBC is sending, and we'll have opportunities to pray for them and give financially to them and encourage them with letters. God has a heart for the nations. For me, it was January 2nd, 1998, when the Lord opened my eyes to this. And before that, I had been like scientists who for a long time thought that the sun revolved around the earth. Now, we learned somewhere in kindergarten, first grade, that doesn't happen. But you look, and it looks like it does. It looks a lot like the sun's revolving around the earth. It doesn't look like we're going up and down every day, does it, John? Help me out. That looks to me like it's going around. Then they found out that's wrong. And see, my concept of the Lord had been really that he just kind of revolved around me. And we say things, good things to say, like we ought to invite Jesus into our heart. Good thing. But really the invitation is from God. And it's an invitation into his heart. When he says, be still and know that I'm God, he says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth. And in Genesis and in Revelation, we'll put up a couple of bookends for God's heart for the nations. And then we'll read some scriptures just throughout the Old and New Testament to talk about the Lord's heart for the nations. And then we'll see how we personally can be involved in that. We've got a role to play. God gives a call to Abram in Genesis chapter 12. He's not yet become Abraham. And he calls out to him. He says to Abram in Genesis 12:1, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land I will show you. So he doesn't have a cell phone or anything to take with him. Doesn't know where he's going. Go to the land I will show you. And I'm going to make your name great. I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you. And so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you all the peoples, all the families, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So Abraham went as the Lord told him. God says, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to make you a great nation. He says that to Abram. And then Abram becomes Abraham, has a son, Isaac. And God says the same sort of thing to Isaac, Genesis 26:4. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and will give them all these lands. And through your offspring, all nations on the earth will be blessed. Then Isaac has a son, Jacob. In Genesis 28:14, the Lord says to Jacob, your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through your offspring. Well, Jacob has 12 sons. One of them is Judah. Through the lineage of Judah, Christ is born. All the nations are blessed. That's the blessing of Abraham. In the Ten Commandments, they're given, the Lord says, so your wisdom will be shown to the nations. And all who hear these decrees will say, surely this people is wise and understanding. When the Lord split the Red Sea, he raised up Pharaoh, split the Red Sea, swallowed the Egyptians. He did that for global evangelization. When the spies went to Rahab, a Gentile prostitute who would be in the lineage of Jesus, when they went to her, she said, I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and great fear of you has fallen on us, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. The Lord was declaring His glory throughout the Old Testament. God speaks of how He does things for His name. The psalmist in Psalm 23 says, you lead me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. In Ezekiel 36, the Lord's having a conversation with Israel. And He says, I'm going to shepherd you again, give you a heart to know me. I'm not doing this for your sake, but I'm doing it for the sake of my name, which you have profaned among the nations. The Lord wants His name to be known among the nations. You remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they are saved through the fire, Nebuchadnezzar makes a decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces. No other God can save this way. And then Daniel's in the lion's den. The Lord sends an angel, closes the mouth of the lions. And Darius, who's the king at that time, issues a decree that every part of my kingdom, it's a pagan kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. There are several other scriptures here listed. In Isaiah 49:6, the Lord is speaking a prophecy. The Father is speaking a prophecy about His servant who will come, Christ. And He says, it's too small a thing or too light a thing that you should be raised up just to restore the tribes of Israel. I'm sending you as a light to all nations. And then in the New Testament, Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Or Matthew 28 says, to all nations you go to make disciples. Acts 1:8, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. Then in Revelation 5, Jesus is spoken of as worthy by these elders who are surrounding the throne. They say, worthy are you, in Revelation 5:9, to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe and every tongue and every nation. You've made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God. They will reign upon the earth. Another picture John's given is in Revelation 7:9. After these things I looked, and there before me was a great multitude no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, and they're worshiping. See, this begins, we see in this call to Abram, a call to go, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And we kind of see a picture of that culmination in Revelation 7. One day there will be people from every tribe and every tongue and every nation worshiping before the throne of God. Temple Bible Church and Wycliffe Bible Translators just sent out Anna Mae Crosby. She's going to Indonesia because there are folks there that don't even have a translation of Scripture in their tongue. And so she's going because the Lord will call people from the Scripture she translates, from that language, and they'll be worshiping around the throne. See, the foundation for a heart for the nations is the Word of God. We want to send missionaries who can explain to people what God, who God is and how He works, and what the path to heaven looks like. Where does my life fit in as a New Testament believer in God's heart for the nations? Where does it fall? We're going to look and give some answers to that. Turn to Psalm chapter 67, where it fits. This, we live in the most blessed time in the history of the world, the most blessed culture financially in the history of the world. When we say that 1% of the world's population gets a college degree, that just kind of seems foreign, because most of us in here have kids. We expect that our kids will grow up and they'll go to college. That's just kind of what you do. That's just kind of how it goes. And it's easy to take for granted our blessing and not to think about what it's really for. The psalmist asked God to bless his people, but he asked them for the right reason. In Psalm 67, he says, God, be gracious to us and bless us. Cause your face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all the nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its produce. God, our God, blesses us. He blesses us. Why? So that the ends of the earth may fear Him. God has put us in this place as part of a great mission-sending church, so that the ends of the earth may fear Him. So that people in Temple, that people in Belton, that people in Bell County, people all across Texas, the United States, North America, South America, on every continent, every people group, He's done that so that the ends of the earth will fear Him, so that people will know He is God, so that His salvation will spread to all nations. That's why we've been blessed. That's why we've been blessed. I was listening to a pastor the other day preaching on missions, and he said, people in America don't know this, but this is why the Lord gave cheap airline fares to retired people, so that they would go to the nations. We're not retired yet, but we can plant that in our heads. It's really just who we are. Paul talked about the fact that he had been appointed as a herald to the Gentiles. Well, I'll play different roles, but we are the ambassadors of Christ, our generation. We're the ambassadors of Christ to the folks we live with, to the folks we work with, to the folks in our community, and then to all nations. I've got a friend that's about to come back from Morocco. He and his wife have been over in Morocco sharing the gospel with Muslims for 2 years, and they've not seen a lot of fruit, but they've seen a lot of seeds planted. And that's just who he is. He's going to come back to America and base a ministry out of here that goes back and forth to the nations. And that's who he is. It's just who he is. It's wise according to God. It's wise according to God. God says, be still and know that I'm God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in all the earth. This is going to happen. This is the culmination point that all of history and all the world is moving towards. God will be exalted for all eternity over all creation. It's wise to be a part of this because it's God's work. We teach and preach and love, but God gives repentance. He gives salvation. And He's about this in all nations. In all the nations. I talked to a man who was sharing about praying for the nations. I'm going to save that and share it with you in a little bit. It's wise to be a part of global missions. It's worth what it costs. Turn to Luke chapter 12. Turn to Luke chapter 12. We live in a world full of folks who do things and would call us to do things that are not worth what they cost. I read an example of that. 7th of August, 2003 in Hartville, Wyoming. Jim Pond grew up to be the 47-year-old sheriff of Albany County in South Dakota. He was riding in a motorcycle rally in the company of another cop and friend. But he was riding without a helmet. After all, he's a cop. He's an experienced rider, and he can control his Harley. Who needs a helmet? Jim didn't just want to ride without a helmet, though. He decided it'd be a good idea. The wind's blowing through his hair and his friend's hair. Be a great time while you're on this motorcycle without a helmet to take a picture. That just kind of makes sense. So the wind streaming through his hair at 65 miles an hour. Conditions seemed right. He turned around to snap a shot of the rider behind him. Motorcycle drifted right and headed for a telephone pole. Jim lost control, trying to wrestle the bike back on the highway. Went sailing through the air, probably wishing for his helmet. When he landed, he broke his skull, 4 ribs, and a shoulder bone. Also suffered other head injuries and road rash, but managed, incredibly, to survive. The camera was not so lucky. Well, this guy found out that day that a picture of your friend riding a motorcycle with the wind streaming through his hair, not worth what it costs you, right? We live in a world that would tell us to run after things and pursue things that are not worth what they'll cost. Giving our lives, giving our time and prayer, giving our finances to the nations. It's worth what it costs. Jesus said to his disciples in Luke 12:32, do not be afraid, little flock. Why does he say that? Folks say that the world is motivated by fear and greed. Warren Buffett, a billionaire and expert on investing, says that the stock market is motivated by fear and greed. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. See, there's this kingdom. It's like a treasure hidden in a field. And we've been given the kingdom. The Father's chosen gladly to give us the kingdom. There's a reward in heaven in that that's waiting for us. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make for yourselves money belts which do not wear out. An unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Lance, you're fixing to go to Tanzania? Yeah. Jesus said, this is good news for you. No one's left father or mother or houses or wife or children for my sake and for the gospel's who will not receive that back 100-fold and in the life to come, eternal life. There's a reward in heaven. It's worth what it costs, whether you're praying, whether you're going, or whether you're sending. It's worth what it cost. It's worth it. And then this is our worship. This is our worship. We're to present our bodies, Romans 12:1 tells us. We're to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to the Lord. For this is your spiritual service of worship. See, the aim of all world missions is the worship of God. One day, John Piper says, one day missions will stop There will be a day when missions ends. Jesus returns and there are no more missions. But worship won't end. The reason missions exist is because right now there are some people groups where folks are not worshiping. But one day, missions will be done. It'll be done. George and Jenny Olsen are sitting back there when New Tribes Missions, they're going to go to an unreached people group and proclaim the gospel, and it might end while they're doing that. I mean, it might end years after they've gone to be with the Lord, but one day missions will be non-existent. The aim of missions is the worship of God. Romans 15:11 cries out, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples praise Him." See, there's just a need so great because when people die without Jesus, they go to hell. I was watching the evening news last night, and there's a study into religious intolerance going on in the Air Force Academy right now. And there's a lady who's a professor at Yale Divinity School, and she said that one of the professors had the audacity to tell his cadets, who were evangelical Christians, that they could tell other students at the Air Force Academy that if they were not born again, if they didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, when they died, they would burn in hell forever. Well, that's not religious intolerance. That's just someone expressing the truth that we believe if you don't have a relationship without Jesus, when you die, you're separated from God forever. There are 2.4 billion people on planet Earth right now that have not heard the name Jesus. The need is great for people, and God's worthy of the worship of everyone He's ever created. He's worthy. Well, how can we be involved? What can I really do? Well, there are three ways that you can be involved. Three or four. And each of us has one of these roles in global evangelization. And the first is go. The first is go. Give a week, give a month, give a year. Go. That's what I challenge high school and college students to do just about everywhere I go. Give a week, give a month, give a year. If you're called to be a goer, then step out and go. Jim Elliot said, "We don't need a voice, we've got a verse that calls us to go and make disciples of all nations." I may have shared this with you. I don't know if I have. My daughter Maddie one night got in a little trouble, and Laura and I had just put her to bed. We'd read and we'd prayed, and I was sitting on her bed and we were talking, and she said, "I don't understand why I have to obey you all the time." I thought, "Well, that's a fair question." And so in 30-year-old language, I said, "You have to obey me because God is calling you to obey me." She said, "Well, I know He's calling me, but I can't hear Him over the air conditioner." And we just kind of had a laugh. I thought, you know, there's no telling how much of the call of God I miss because the things I have around me to give me convenience make so much noise. See, God might be calling you to go. You might be like Lance. Lance, if a year ago somebody had said, "Hey, you're going to go to Tanzania." Well, it was a year, May. If a year and a half ago, if somebody had said, what would you have done? Yeah, probably not. Maybe God's calling you to go. And one of the things I think is right, I've got a friend named Claude, and he travels 40 weeks a year. He goes to colleges, and he spends one-on-one time with college students trying to mobilize them to missions. And when he's done talking with them, he says, "Will you at least take an application?" And most students say yes. And what he does, he gives them an application for a passport. Just so you can be ready. If God calls you to go, you can be ready to go. What if, you know, say TBC's got a trip planned, somebody has to back out, they're 3 weeks away, and there's provision there for you to go, and you think, "Well, yeah, I've got an extra week of vacation, I could jump on that." Maybe the first step to saying, "Yes, I want to be available," would be to get a passport if you don't have one. You can go, you can pray like the psalmist prayed. "Bless us, cause your face to shine upon us, that your ways may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations." When Jesus taught the disciples to pray, one of the things He said is, pray, your kingdom, may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The gospel will be preached, Jesus said, as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. You can pray for people groups. You can pray for missionaries. Brother Gary mentioned, as he preached a few months ago, a book called Operation World. It's by Patrick Johnstone. You can get it on the web, and it'll give you each nation, a different nation every day. Some nations 3 or 4 days. But you can go 365 days a year, have a people group to pray for. You can go on Google and just type in Operation World or Patrick Johnstone, and there's a website you can go to. Pop up the website. Find out someone to pray for each day. There's a guy I met a few weeks ago named Norman. He's from England, and he talked about praying for the Berlin Wall to fall. And he set a glass in front of I and a few other guys that preach, and he just started tapping on this glass, and he said, with a pen, he said, what would happen if I kept tapping on this glass and didn't stop? And I didn't know. And he said it would break. The vibrations, no matter how hard you tap, you keep tapping, the vibrations would grow so great that the glass would break. And Norman talked about the day in 1989 when the Berlin Wall fell. And he had been praying for freedom. There was an underground church in East Germany, but not sharing the gospel with freedom. And his desire was that the gospel would run like wildfire. And Norman and a lot of other folks would go on either side of the wall and just put their hands on the Berlin Wall and pray for years and years for the wall to fall down. And he said, you know, enough tapping and the glass will break. He said that day he stopped praying for Germany and he began to pray for the 49th parallel that separates North and South Korea. He said, we really ought to pray for America now, because at the rate Christianity is growing in China, missionaries will one day be coming here from there. We can pray where there are places that are hard, that those who are sharing the gospel will be bold, but also that the walls to the gospel will be broken down, that the Lord will crush opposition to the gospel. We can spend time on our lunch break. I met a guy in Dallas. I did a retreat for some folks in Dallas, and this guy had a deal on his cell phone where every day in his work day, he had a reminder, and it was a call from God on his cell phone, and it just beeped and said, God is calling, talk to him. And it was a time he had set aside to pray for a people group in Southeast Asia. Take some time set aside in your day to pray. You can go, you can pray, you can send or mobilize. You can send or mobilize. Romans 10, Paul asks this question about missions and about people knowing the Lord. In verse 13 it says, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But then verse 14 asks the question, how then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. You can send and mobilize. You can send and mobilize. The Lord told me and Laura just the other day, there was something that we had that was just kind of a monthly deal, but it was something that we didn't need. And the Lord just put on our hearts, this needs to go to missions. And so we said yes. And you know, it's not been something that's been missed greatly. And even if it had, it's worth what it cost. Another statistic, Christians' after-tax income in America last year was between $800 and $900 billion. Christians in America last year gave $2 billion to missions, one-fourth of 1%. We spent $10 billion on weight reduction programs and even more on cosmetics and dog food. To be mobilizers, we may have to look at our lifestyle and examine ourselves in light of Scripture. I don't know what God is calling you to do, but I know He's calling us to do something. He calls us all to go, to pray, to send. Maybe you're a welcomer. When these folks come back from Morocco, one of the things we know that we're called to do is take them to Get Texas Barbecue and just bless them for a night or two. Maybe you're a welcomer when people come back. I don't know what the Lord's called you to do, but it's going to be one of these three: to be a goer, to be a prayer, to be a sender or to be a mobilizer. You might go and be a mobilizer. I get an opportunity to take trips sometimes, but one of the things we're called to do, Laura and I, is to raise up students to go do missions. I've gotten emails all year long. Hey, you talked to me last summer, and this is where I'm going this summer. And that just lights my fire, makes me want to scream and spit louder when I preach. And it's the good news. What's God calling you to do? Now, I want you to bow your heads and just take a few moments to think about this. God has a heart that all the nations would know. And it, more than it's about the people, it's about His worth. And it's definitely about the people. We want people to be saved. We want them to know the love of Christ. You got to love the world. He sent His Son to die. But He's worthy of worship as well. Every tongue, every tribe, every nation, He's calling people to Himself. And He's calling them through missionaries who are sent out. This is why we've been blessed. It's the reason God put us as believers in America, to exalt His name among the nations. It's who we are in Christ, the light of the world, the salt of the earth, a city set on a hill, ambassadors for Christ. God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that in Him we would be the righteousness of God. He will be exalted among the nations. It's wise to get on board with this. Something of eternal significance. Calling you to do, is it to go? Is it to pray? Is it to send? It's certainly not to be indifferent. For a lot of us today, this is just a reminder of why we do what we do. Maybe for you today, it's like a light coming on. I remember that day for me. If you would say, just with folks praying, I think God might be calling me to go, but I'm not real sure. Chase, would you just kind of between me and you, would you just pray for me? I think God might be calling me to go. If that's you, could we just make eye contact so I can know, and I'll be praying for you. God, thank you that you sent the gospel several hundred years ago to America. And thank you, God, for how it's established, and there wasn't a question for us about whether there would be opposition to us or persecution. As we came today to look at your word, to sing confessions to you, agreeing with what you say about yourself and about us. God, thank you for salvation, that we were dead in sin. We've been made alive together in Christ Jesus. And you've seated us in heavenly places. So many dead in sin today in the nations, in our nation. So many with physical needs we can meet as we also meet spiritual needs. So many we can reach out to and love. And God, you're worthy of the worship of our lives. I pray you'd make clear to us what our role is, whether it's going, whether it's praying, whether it's sending and mobilizing, or whether it's welcoming as folks come back. God, I pray you'd help us to see our role. For those who've said, I think the call for me might be to go. God, I pray that you would open doors and put people groups on their heart and burn desire within them and make opportunities available for them to go. Lord, I thank you for this place, for this body that makes it easy to go. Rejoice in that, Father. God, for those who are going to be senders, I pray for your provision just to be heaped upon them. God, for prayers, I pray, Lord, folks would be intimate, in tune with your word and your heart as they cry out for missionaries, for people groups, for you to be worshipped like you deserve. God, if anybody, I used to sit and listen to things like this with a heart of indifference. If anybody has that heart, I pray that you would warm that heart and stir that heart within them, that they might love your name among the nations. God, thank you for the privilege we have of being your ambassadors. Let us live all of life in light of that, with a lot of gusto and zeal and passion for your name among all the nations. In Jesus' name, amen.
To find out more, visit www.thetravelingteam.org.